Second Chronicles, chapter 34. This is our 27th study in Second Chronicles. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. Like the three Hebrew captives who were told by the king of the Medes and the Persians, by the king of Babylon, when they were in captivity, you worship the image or you're going to be thrown into the fire. Like with those three Hebrews, Josiah was steadfast. Remember what the three captives said? He said, God may deliver us, or he may not, but we're not worshiping your false God. And Josiah wouldn't budge either. He was very steadfast his entire life. 3. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. And so when Josiah was 16, he really got serious about the Lord. He developed good spiritual habits early in his life, and that helped him throughout his entire life. It's important to develop good spiritual habits early in life because they'll stick with you, and keep them up. They'll stick with you and they'll benefit you throughout your entire life. Verse 4. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. These he broke to pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. And so the heathen gods and altars, you know, have you noticed? They go up and down like a yo-yo in Israel. Good kings knock them down, bad kings rebuild them. Well, Josiah's dad rebuilt them, but Josiah smashed them. And it says in verse 5 that he burned the bones of the priest on the altars, and so he purged Judah and Jerusalem. Josiah had the bones of the priests of idols dug up and burnt on the altar of the gods that they worshipped. Verse 6. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. He destroyed all the idols and all evidence of idolatry throughout the entire land, north and south. Wherever he could get away with it, he did it. Verse 8. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the ruler of the city, with Joah, son of Jehoaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. Remember his father, he had defiled the holy temple of God with the worship of idols and in the process made it unfit for worshiping the Lord. Well, Josiah has the temple cleaned up, spiritually speaking. Verse 9. It says they went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that he had been or that had been brought into the temple of God, which the Levites, who were the doorkeepers, had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this is talking about a collection which was taken to repair the temple. Verse 10. It says, then they entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the Lord's temple. These men paid workers who repaired and restored the temple. God is a very down-to-earth God. That's one thing I've noticed throughout Scripture. He is very down-to-earth. He cares about things like getting a paycheck for your work. And those who worked on the temple, those who did anything, God paid for their work. And it was God's will, and it still is. The laborer is worthy of his pay. God doesn't expect people to work for nothing. 11. They also gave money to the carpenters and builders to purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams, for the buildings that the kings of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. And notice God did not create the material. He did not create the wood, the beams, and the rocks, and everything else that was used. They had to go shopping, and they had to buy it, and they had to transport it to the temple. And we see from this that God uses our brains and our common sense and our muscle to accomplish his will. He uses very ordinary things and very ordinary people to accomplish his will. 12. The men did the work faithfully. Over them to direct them were Jahath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Meshulam, descended from Kohath. The Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers and supervised all the workers from job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and doorkeepers, and the Levites oversaw the entire operation to make sure that everything was done correctly. Verse 14, while they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. And so, you wonder, what in the world, where in the world was the Bible? You wonder why the country was in such a mess? Well, the Word of God was hidden under a bunch of rubbish or something, evidently. I mean, was it covered with rubble, or was it buried under a bunch of junk in some back closet of the temple, or what? Apparently it was. No wonder the country is in such rough shape. They finally found the Word of God, by accident it seems. Blew the dust off of it. And they're going to read it. Verse 15. Hilkiah said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan. How do you ever lose it? That's my question. I mean, that's their job in the past, the priests, the Levites, to read the book of the law, to study it, to teach it, to know it, to know how to go about doing their duties. And they found it? After how long? Decades? Centuries? What? But what an important thing this was. It's a very important find. This was a word of God written by Moses himself, and it contained God's law with warnings and promises. And maybe if they would have had the word of God and they would have read it regularly, maybe the country wouldn't have gone down the tubes so badly. 16. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. Shaphan reports to the king that the temple project is going well. 17. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers. And so the offerings are being used properly, and that's important. In verse 18, then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And so he reads the word of God to the king. And it says in verse 19, look at this. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his robes. Well, Josiah was godly enough to know that the nation had strayed from God. But he had no idea how far they had fallen until he heard the word of God. See, the word of God, rightly understood, knocks sinners down to size in a real hurry. And that is exactly what is happening right here. Verse 20. It says, the king gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahiakim, son of Shaphan, Abdon, son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the remnant in Israel and Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book. And now Josiah knows why the north was conquered by Assyria. And he also knows that the south is in big trouble because of their sin. And he's going to ask God how big that trouble is. Verse 22, Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tahath, the son of Hesra, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. Now, Huldah was a prophetess, which means that she spoke the word of God. Back in Old Testament days, she spoke the word of God, you know, just like Jeremiah or Isaiah or any of the other prophets. Of course, this is sometimes used as a proof text by those who think women should be pastors. But I have to tell you, one does not have anything to do with the other. The New Testament is our directive today for the church, and the Bible is clear in the New Testament when it says that in the church, a woman is not to teach a man, nor have authority over men. And so it's crystal clear from these scriptures and others that women are not to be pastors, and this verse does not teach that they should be or can be. Verse 23. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that have been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all that their hands have made, my anger will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched." And so their worst fears will come true. God's warnings that they read in that book will be carried out. God's word is true. They have disobeyed, and they will be punished, and not a little either. Verse 26 says, "Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. And so the nation as a whole will be punished severely. But there's a separate message. Did you notice that? There's a separate message from God to King Josiah. Look at it, verse 27. "Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard what he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me, and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Now I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place and on those who live here." So they took her answer back to the king. God makes a separation. He makes a clear distinction between good people who have a heart for him and bad people who do not have a heart for him. God knows the difference. Even if there's only one good person in a huge crowd, he can pick them out. And he does. And Josiah had a heart for the Lord, so he will not be punished. See, when it comes to being punished by God or being blessed by God, the choice is always up to us. Verse 29. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest, he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord. Josiah knew that he had to tell the people what the word of God said. He knew he couldn't keep it to himself. How they respond to it, well, that's their business. And that's how I feel too, by the way. It's my duty to give out the straightforward word of God. That's what I try to do. Keep it simple, keep it pure, give out the pure word of God, the entire word of God. That's what I try to do, because you have a right, whether you want to or not, that's your business. But you have a right to have it available to you, the entire word of God, verse by verse. And so that's my job. That's my business. And then I just, you know, have to allow people to either accept it or reject it. You know, what they do with the word of God is between them and God. Verse 31. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all of his heart and all of his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. And so Josiah, like Joshua centuries earlier, made it clear to all the people that he was going to serve the Lord God. Verse 32. Then he had everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledge themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of the God of God, the God of their fathers. As the king Josiah, you know, the commander and chief, as it were, of the people, as the king, he commands the people to obey God. And whether they do it from their heart or not, that's their business. But he's going to pass the laws, and he's going to enforce the laws that are the laws of God. And that's his business as the king. You know, it's up to the people to obey or disobey, or to want to disobey, or to want to obey. That's between them and God, but he's going to do his job. 33, Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territories belonging to the Israelites, and he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. As long as he lived, they did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their fathers. Josiah used his influence and authority as the king to enforce the laws and the righteousness of God's word. And if he doesn't do that, he's not doing his job. So, yeah, he did his best. He did what he could. And God rewarded him for it. And he rewards to every person according to what their deeds deserve. Next time, chapter 35. Until then, so long, everyone.